This is the Adam Gold Show.
Yesterday, I determined after the program that I was at about 80% capacity.
Okay.
In terms of just overall recovery, back to normal. I mean, I'm not sick anymore. I think I'm at about 88% today.
Okay.
Do you remember when Ty Lawson used to give us those updates on his ankle?
Yeah.
Back in 2005. I'm like at 76%. I like that.
All right.
This had nothing to do with Epsom salts, by the way, either. He also claimed that he was healing his sprained ankle with Epsom salts.
Yeah.
Loved me some Ty Lawson back in the day. Absolutely loved me some Ty Lawson. Holy cow, we got a lot of things to do today. Appreciate your time. I am Adam Gold. That is Dennis Cox. It's the Adam Gold Show. Yeah, you can hear us all over the state. That's also good. You can also watch us on the TV, which, good or bad, I don't know. It's a thing. It's a thing that is happening. Channel 34.1 over the air, if you are local to the WRAL TV5 viewing area. I believe on Spectrum Cable, is it channel 1257?
Correct.
1257. Also, Roku, Fire, what is it called?
Android TV.
Android and Apple TV.
Yeah.
Right? All of those in the WRAL Sports Plus app. Or it's the WRAL News app.
It's the WRAL app. Just choose WRAL Sports Plus.
I don't know how it works, Dennis. I know I can watch. I can go into the break room,
and it's there.
And there I am. Oh no! Why would I want to watch that? But some people do. So there. So watch us on TV. I'll wave to the camera. Hi, Mom. All right, we got a lot of things to do today. Jordan Cornett is going to join us from the ACC Network. We've got Linda Cohn. On from ESPN. Real quick, before we get into all of this, because we're back on the ice in the NHL, the NBA also returns. I think both coverages have been good. Has it surprised you, Dennis, how good TNT's coverage of the NHL has been?
I'm a little bit surprised because it's their first time having it, but at the same time, they do so good with the NBA that, you know what? It doesn't surprise me. I've been thoroughly impressed with their coverage all season. I do love how sometimes they'll cross over their coverages of NBA and NHL, even sometimes Major League Baseball. They'll cross over the crews.
Yeah.
Like you see Charles Barkley all the time.
Well,
coming
he's a
over.
Huge hockey fan.
He is. So he comes over a lot. We even saw like Curtis Granderson and those guys like doing layups and being basically like how they're showing like switches on picks and stuff off ball. And they have the MLB guys over there. It's fun what they do.
Well, they're all in basically one studio in Secaucus, New Jersey. MLB and NHL operate out of the same place. And for all I know, NBA TV does as well.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not sure if it's in Secaucus or not, but there is crossover between MLB and NHL Network.
Mm-hmm.
There's definite crossover there. I think TBS has done, or TNT, Turner, has done an amazing job covering the National Hockey League. I mean, I love their talent.
Mm-hmm.
I think we have a surprise for Hurricanes fans on Friday. But I love their talent. I love their studio.
Mm-hmm.
I've never been a huge, Is Spit and Chicklets part of Barstool?
I believe so.
Right. Never been a huge Barstool guy, right? It's not me. Paul Bissonnette is excellent, I think, in the studio. And Anson Carter is good. I've always been a Liam McHugh fan, so I think they do an incredible job. And the playoffs are where they're shining, and it has a very similar vibe to the NBA show, the Inside the NBA stuff, with Kenny, Chuck, and Shaq, obviously, and Ernie Johnson. There's a lot of personality to what TNT does, and it's been cool to see. In year one, television ratings for NHL on TV during the playoffs have been very good.
Yeah.
Almost 2.5 million watched, I believe, Rangers Penguins game seven, was it?
Okay.
Did I see that?
Yeah.
Almost $2.5 million for that.
That's good.
It's been great. Well over $1 million watched Canes Boston game seven in the afternoon on Saturday.
Yeah.
Very, very cool. All right. Shall we start this thing? By the way, I'll ask this question before we even get started, and we will get back to it, maybe even in this segment, but also later on. Football Outsiders asked the question on ESPN.com. We're going to make this basis for our conversation later. They asked, of each NFL team, what is still the one glaring weakness on the roster, or the depth chart, if you will? And so I'll ask that question of Panthers fans. What is the one glaring weakness on the roster? By the way, if you took the cheap joke, I have no respect, head coach. Yeah, we get it. I specifically asked the question a certain way to avoid the stupid joke. Mm-hmm. But I'm sorry, it's a dumb joke because we all understand that Matt Rhule is probably swimming out of his league. And we all get it. Right? Ha, 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 ha. Not an original joke. All right. So we'll talk about that a little bit later on. The area of the Panthers that still needs major addressing, not on the sideline, not in the head coach. All right. Let's get right to it because we have all sorts of games are back. We're back to business in the NHL and the NBA playoffs. Conference finals time in the association. Celtics and Heat ready for game one in Miami. There is a conversation going on surrounding the Miami Heat, wondering if Jimmy Butler is that guy. I guess it's a natural fascination with a team that just does it a little bit differently than the other teams. They don't have the Butler's averaging almost 29 points a game. So it's not like they don't have a dominant scorer night in and night out. That is Jimmy Butler. He just does it differently. And the Heat don't have to get 27 from Butler to win games. They just don't. They can get blow up nights from a lot of different places. Jay Williams from Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max. Was talking about the Heat being that underrated team.
So the Miami Heat is the most disrespected franchise there is right now. And shame on media, shame on me. All we've been talking about over the last several weeks, we've been talking about the 76ers.
Shame
I can't tell you how many people have came up to me like, you guys are talking about James Harden again. You know, yesterday it was about Luka Doncic and how he was similar to Magic Johnson and the fact that when you leave the room, you feel like you're missing something that he's going to provide for the game. Or if it's Patrick Beverley talking about CP3, or if we're talking about if Jason Tatum has a seat at the table of the greats, if he's on the level two as opposed to level one of the VIP room. Nobody's talking about the Miami Heat.
Well, I think that is true. Boston has the sexy 40-plus point scorer in Jason Tatum. And you've got Jaylen Brown operating as a reliable second scorer who can go for 30 on his own. When you talk about the Miami Heat, there's a lot of people that don't even know them beyond Jimmy Butler.
Yeah.
They don't. Like, the second leading scorer is Bam Adebayo, and he's scored half the points in the playoffs that Jimmy Butler has.
North Carolina's own.
That's right. Jimmy Butler's averaging over 28. Adebayo is averaging over 14. Like, that is a gigantic gap.
Yeah.
But according to Matt Barnes, Adebayo might be the barometer in how this series goes.
I think it's going to have to be Bam. His numbers were a little down last series against Philly. And the Celtics are a big team up front with Horford and Grant and those guys. So I look for Bam Adebayo to be as electric as he was in the bubble. He's going to have to be that consistent second guy that Jimmy can depend on.
Bam has to be a contributor offensively. But again, they don't need points from Bam Adebayo. They probably want defense, playmaking from Adebayo. I mean, they're going to get points, whether it's Tyler Hero or Duncan Robinson or PJ Tucker or Victor Oladipo. Is Kyle Lowry going to be healthy? And Oladipo's been in and out of the lineup as well. Is Kyle Lowry going to be healthy? He's going to miss game one. We know that. Mm-hmm. But Miami, man, they come at you with defense and tenacity and versatility. You just don't know where it's coming from. I love the Miami Heat. I don't know if they're going to beat Boston, right? But, man, with all the attention on players, I'm not sure that the Miami Heat don't have the best coach in the playoffs. And this is a long way from where Eric Spoelstra was when LeBron James first got to Miami.
Yeah.
It's a long time ago. Spoelstra was thought to be what held them back. Nah. He has developed into a great NBA coach.
Yeah, everyone thought that he was just a benefactor of having all that talent.
Right.
Like, well, maybe, yes, but to an extent. But now he's in the Eastern Conference Finals, and you're looking like, okay, after Jimmy Butler, who?
Yeah.
For a lot of people.
It is a by-committee situation in Miami. And again, Jimmy Butler, not only do you have just one guy, mm-hmm. but it's a Jimmy Butler type of player who can impact the game in so many other ways that you don't necessarily have to have his points. But it's going to be an interesting series, Celtics and Heat tonight on ESPN. Golden State and Dallas starts tomorrow. I think it's going to be interesting as well. Like, the Warriors were great against Memphis, but they were better against Memphis with Ja Morant
yeah.
than they were against Memphis without Ja Morant. It's just a weird series. That was a weird series. And now you know they're going to have Luka Doncic. You have to deal with that. Is that a Draymond Green experience? Is it an Andrew Wiggins defensive assignment? Mm-hmm. It's probably one of the two, maybe both of them. But it should be a lot of fun. On the ice.
Let's do that hockey.
Oh, I'm sorry. There you go. Chance. On the ice tonight. We have the battle for Sunshine State supremacy in hockey. That's right. What an extreme. We have the battle for Alberta, mm-hmm. Canada, and the battle for Florida in the NHL.
They're not supposed to play hockey in Florida.
My gosh.
Nobody knows
stuff.
About hockey in Florida.
I mean, that could be true,
yeah.
by the way. Anyway. We also have the Colorado-St. Louis series starting tonight. The Alberta series doesn't start until tomorrow when the Hurricanes will get in action. Real quick about this series. I don't know how much of Florida-Washington you caught, mm-hmm. Dennis, but I watched a bunch of that. I think Florida's fortunate to have survived that series. It's 2-1 Capitals. They're inside of roughly right around 2 minutes left in game four with the Capitals leading and Florida's goalie out. Mm-hmm. We're this close from 3-1 Washington, right? Mm-hmm. Going back to Florida for game five.
Yeah.
And then Washington knowing they have basically two cracks at this before you throw game seven on the ice in Florida, which probably you're not going to win. But anyway. It was that close to Florida being in a seriously disadvantageous position. But they scored to tie it, won it in overtime. Carter Verhaeghe went bananas.
He had himself
in the
series.
He had an overtime winner in game four. He had 5 points in game five.
Yeah.
And he had an overtime winner in game six. Stop it. Carter, what? Anyway. It was that close. Florida's goaltending? Not quite there. I like Tampa in the series, but Tampa's so banged up.
Yeah.
So banged.
Great point.
Point, we don't know when Point's going to come back. We also know that Kucherov is not at 100%.
Hagel's out too, isn't he?
I don't know if Hagel's. I don't. Or is Hagel out? Look, Tampa just gets it, man. They just get it. No team in the NHL locks it down better than the Tampa Bay Lightning.
Vasilevsky and goal is a cheat code.
Yeah, and they gave up a bunch of goals to Toronto in this series. He wasn't always great. But, man, when they need him to be great, he is. He is absolutely great. Blues aren't carrying around the burden of expectations like Colorado is. Uh-huh. The Avalanche, they have had trouble. You know, a lot is made of over the years of like Washington not being able to get over the hump, or Toronto, which hasn't won a playoff series since 2004. That's a real thing. 2004, the Maple Leafs, really? Yeah. But Colorado has struggled to get to where their talent level suggests they should be. And I think this is a difficult matchup for them against the St. Louis Blues, who actually scored more goals this year than Colorado did. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Colorado, in terms of the numbers from this season, the second best offensive team in this series with St. Louis. I like the Blues. I like their goaltending edge over Colorado as well. I also think it doesn't hurt that hurt the Blues' chances that the Avalanche have been sitting around for a week and a half.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Colorado took advantage of a decimated Nashville goaltending situation.
Yeah.
They were down to James Ingram. Who was it? Somebody named Ingram played goal.
Mark Ingram?
Mark Ingram played goal for the Predators. Now, Colorado's had their own goaltending issues because Darcy Kuemper actually, I don't think, played game four. But they were just so much better than the Predators anyway. Although, one of those games went to overtime. It's going to be an interesting series.
How many games before Nazem Kadri gets suspended?
Ha! He hasn't done it yet.
Exactly.
He hasn't done it yet. He's had an amazing year. The Avalanche need Kadri to stay in between the mustard and the mayonnaise, as they say about the yellow line and the white line on the road. All right, so here is something to ponder. Let's just kick this around for a couple of minutes here. And again, we will bring this back with Julian Council coming up at the top of the hour, Locked On Panthers podcast. So Football Outsiders asked this question of each NFL team. What is still the biggest hole on the roster? If you were looking at the Panthers depth chart, what would the biggest hole be? What do you think the quick, knee-jerk answer to that is, Dennis?
Offensive line.
All right. See, I would not say that. I would not say that. I think they have done a lot of good work to the offensive line.
Sure.
I think they have other things that worry me about this team.
Yeah, but for me, until you step on the field and show otherwise, you're going to be a concern.
Sure. We have to see how it plays. But that was Football Outsiders' answer.
Okay.
And it wasn't just offensive line. It was the interior of the offensive line.
Right.
Even though Austin Corbett, Brad Bozeman have been brought in, Brady Christensen can stay inside. They've got other options to be Pat Elflein is still there. I actually think their offensive line looks like it will be pretty good. So to me, the knee-jerk reaction is quarterback.
Well, yeah.
Right? It's still, right now, it's still Sam Darnold and the roll of the dice on Matt Carroll, which, I mean, doesn't sound like it would inspire confidence at all. But I actually don't even think that's the answer. And I don't think interior offensive line is the answer either. Because there are other things that would worry me if I were the Panthers. I'm more worried about the interior of the defensive line
mm-hmm.
than I am of the offensive line.
I agree.
I'm worried about linebacker. I'm worried about cornerback. Like, we don't know if J.C. Horn's going to be anything. We don't. He didn't play enough last year to give us a lot of confidence. But I think the bigger problem for me with everything that they have done, when I look at their receiving options, I ain't in love.
No.
I'm not. And that directly impacts everything you do offensively. I like DJ Moore. I think DJ Moore is a really good second receiver, a guy who works underneath, a slot guy. I mean, even though he doesn't have to be in the slot, DJ Moore is essentially that kind of that jackknife guy. He just does a lot of different things. Who's the top target? Who's your tight end?
No.
Who's your third? Like, I think Robbie Anderson is an ideal third.
I thought Christian McCaffrey was the answer for all of those.
Well, Christian McCaffrey, yes, is the answer for all of it. Mm-hmm. But essentially, you know, there's only so much damage you can do in the passing game out of the backfield. I've always said this about McCaffrey. I wouldn't even use him as a safety valve. Mm-hmm. I would put him in pass patterns. I really would. I would use him within the legitimate framework of your passing attack rather than we could just toss it out here in the flat to McCaffrey.
Mm-hmm.
I'd let him run routes. Give him a route tree.
Yeah.
But that to me is, when I look at their roster, like, I think their offensive line has a chance to be good.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
Would it matter if you don't have good enough weapons to throw to? Like, they still have not addressed tight end. Greg Olsen's been gone for how long?
3 years.
Right? Like, is Tommy Tremble really the guy? I mean, I think Tremble's okay. He's actually better than I thought he was going to be. I thought he was just going to be a blocker. Seems like he can play a little bit. But Ian Thomas, whatever.
Yeah.
Okay, no, not for me. I just don't see weapons in terms of a receiving target to get the most out of whoever your quarterback is. So I guess it's going to be 3 yards in a cloud. They're going to, you know, ground and pound and dump it off to McCaffrey, but it takes a lot. It's going to take a ton of creativity, I think, to create something in the passing game, because I don't think they've got anything dynamic on the outside.
They should hire a young, bright-minded passing coordinator that has
a
deep college background,
yeah,
that can take these young players and bring this new age thing up to Charlotte and can really revitalize this roster and really put up yards and points. I wish that guy was out there.
That always works, though.
Yeah.
I don't know why they haven't thought of it in the past.
This is the Adam Gold Show.